Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. This is just us saying goodbye to 2023. Let's get on with the show. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today are my fellow hosts, John Davenport.
Hola, ¿cómo está?
Football! Almost sounded a bit racist.
Yeah, what? That was. You're lucky you have Spanish in you, because if not, we would have to kick you from the podcast.
The internet would do it for us. Yes.
I'm pretty sure. I do what I want.
Amanda Sink.
Hello, hello.
And Troy Heinrichs.
Hi, everybody.
See how easy that is? You don't have to make it weird. You don't have to make it weird.
I just can't do it. I don't know why. I need a catchphrase and I can't do it right.
Maybe we should, you know what? As the year's coming to an end, here we go. Here's an idea. Everybody listening. John needs a catchphrase. Dear God, help him. It just to open the show. It's all it is. Amanda has hello, hello. Troy has hi, everybody. It's not, actually, Troy can figure out how to do it differently every time and it's still okay.
Right.
It's not weird. So if you would like to contribute, email us or put it on social media. I don't care. However you want to do it. Just tell us what you think John's opening should be.
Right.
Please John's give him Christmas something. Yeah.
His holiday present.
Thank you. Please, dear God, do something. Wow. I got nothing.
I mean,
well, we're closing out the year. That's it. This is just us saying goodbye.
Amen. Toodaloo. Motherfucker.
Okay. Amanda.
All right.
We're going to start with where you been? Huh?
Working. just mostly working.
Yeah. For those of you that email and ask, like, where did Amanda go? Where'd she? She has a new. She changed jobs late last year.
She changed lives.
She's in a different stage. She got a different. Time zone. She works more hours. That's why. It's not like she just said, screw the podcast. Although she did do that too. But
which really means in 2024, we need you all to actually give more on Patreon. That's Patreon, because the three of us don't work because we're always here. So
Patreon.com/The Hollywood Outsider. Thanks, Troy. That was a very good plug. I like
that. That was really good.
It was beautiful.
But great job. Give more money. I'll fart in a jar for you.
Well, now you just sound like a homeless person, like asking or something.
Right, right. You get a cardboard sign you could hold up there, John.
He's just going to be the lady for what I can't remember the character's name from Bridesmaids. Right. She's like, help me, I'm poor.
Oh, I thought you meant the one that shits in the street. That felt
no.
More real.
Well, I mean, I don't know what his life is like these days. He is in Florida. He's Florida man. He's Florida man again.
He is Florida man.
And happier for it. So much better than being a North Carolina man.
We have a couple things we'll talk about, but overall, this is just more like shits and giggles episode. This is just whatever that we want.
You're telling me I could have drank for this?
You could. Yeah.
You guys don't get enough of the shits and giggles episodes from us.
That's true. We don't do that enough. There's always something to talk about. I don't know.
Can I go grab a bottle of wine real quick?
Okay, now that you made it sound like you have a problem.
No, I'm just saying I could be having a nice little glass of wine right now.
That's not what you said. You said, can I grab a bottle? Yeah. You didn't say grab a glass.
Yeah. Well, the bottle is a glass, if you think about it.
No.
If you think about
that's
it.
That's really concerning. And now we're all worried about your mental health.
Hey, at least it's
you
not a bag.
You probably should be.
At least it's not a bag of wine.
See, you're true. Right. You know what? I do. I invested the $16 into this bottle of wine.
Right.
16.
Do they still have box wine? They still have
sure do. Yeah. Yes, they do.
It's
They have taps on them, Aaron. You just open it up and
that's the saddest thing. And that's worse than Mad Dog.
I kind of want one.
And I grew
up on
Mad
Dog. It's
probably
terrible wine, but I kind of want one.
Actually, I mean, there's some box wine at Costco that is not bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't drink wine at all, so I don't know.
I don't either, but I've had it.
I was sober for like 2 years. I started drinking this year. That'll tell you how my year's been.
Oh, I was not at all. No, I haven't even tried.
Stopping or starting?
Either one.
I don't have to try to be sober. I just am.
I feel like also when I said that I was sober for 2 years, now it actually does sound like I have a problem. It was I just don't drink very often until this year. This year Amanda, has stressed me out.
I've been drinking. You, everything you've said thus far sounds like you have a drinking problem.
I know.
You're right. It's spiraling out of control at the moment. Yeah.
And we're okay. We're here for you. We're here for you. I will take any alcohol you don't need. Just go ahead and ship it over here and I'll take it.
I mean, you are in Colorado. You can go get an edible.
I know. I am aware.
It also costs a lot more than a box wine.
Truly. Definitely more than the $16 of my bottled wine.
How much is an edible?
Yeah, definitely.
How much is an edible?
We're not talking about drug use here on the podcast.
Google it.
Sorry.
What?
No, we're not doing
that. I don't
know.
I'm sure I would rough guess without any real understanding. Can you buy a single edible? But I would say maybe like $15. I don't know. Somebody tell me if I'm right or wrong.
Is talking for about like, or buying drugs is illegal in your state? Please turn this podcast off right now.
Right. is that like for a single gummy or is that?
Dude, I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. I don't buy edibles, so
I'm just fascinated. Yeah. I mean, for that.
But guess what? You're very interested. So if you come visit, I'll find a place and show you or something.
Well, no,
you seem interested.
I don't want to partake. I don't want to.
You can't get this deep into it when we've all said like, move on from it, and you still bring it up. We're just moving past it.
John just wants to learn about the commerce of it all. He doesn't want to actually partake.
Sure. Yeah. No.
Yeah. That's what every drug dealer named Joe I ever met said.
That's right.
Hey, I have never once partaken. I have no interest in partaking. I just
then,
like,
dear God, let us move on from it.
No, Lewis, we're stuck here now.
What's really funny is that we were supposed to have a random discussion point for this, and here we are talking about edibles.
Here we are. You know, this is nobody else is talking about it but John. He's all
how
on
much
his
more
own.
Random do you want?
We talk about holiday edibles, you know, chocolate covered Oreo cookies, peppermint bar.
Thank
That's
you
my
for
kind
Troy.
Of edible right there.
There you go.
Chocolate covered Oreo sounds good. A turtle. I love turtles and chocolate.
I don't like turtles,
pretzels.
But could you imagine a white chocolate covered Oreo? That sounds amazing.
A white chocolate mint Oreo.
I'm not a mint
there you
or
go.
A
there
dark chocolate or a milk chocolate. It doesn't matter. It's an Oreo.
Any chocolate.
And any chocolate.
I've got a friend. Well, we all have a friend. Scott Clark, friend of the show, his wife.
I don't.
Okay. You do too.
Well, you know Scott Clark and his wife.
Yeah. Anyway, his wife every year does like a candy fundraiser, which is very cool. She makes a ton of candy and sells it. And then basically all the proceeds go to charities and you can pick one of two charities, which is very, very nice that, you know, that she does all this. It's very, very sweet. But
she's trying to buy Scott's way into heaven.
Yeah. He's not getting there on his own. So he needs a lot of help.
That's
for
sure.
But I have to be perfectly honest. Like, I always do it for the candy. I'm not doing it for the charity ever. I just have that addiction. I like sweets more than I like helping people, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fair.
Just a convenient plus that I help people.
And they're really good.
Yeah.
Those are some good treats. Reflection.
So good.
Yeah, you know, whenever somebody sits there and says, hey, do you want to take this home with you when it's like a sweet or a candy or something like that? I'm like, no, I don't. Well, why not? Because I will eat it.
Yeah, I just say yes in those situations.
I don't.
Yeah. But I also coincidentally just had to buy a new belt this weekend. So obviously I should start saying no more.
All I got in my house is just my meals and some nuts for a snack and like a protein bar.
That is depressing.
Yeah, it sounds like your life sucks. That's what it sounds
like. No, my life is pretty great. I just can't trust myself with snacks.
That's why I don't buy chips. I actually, same reason I don't buy chips. I can't eat one. I can't eat like a handful. Like some people say, just eat a handful. I can't do that. I buy the individually wrapped ones and I still eat three bags. I can't, I can't do it.
Literally the tagline for one of the actual chips. Like you can't stop.
Yeah.
You can't stop. And
you can't eat one Jay, right? Can't eat one
Jay's. Yep.
All right, let's do some movie and TV stuff. So how about your best TV or movie watching experience of the year? Amanda, you start this. What was your number one movie or TV watching experience of the year?
Well, I'm going to be really disappointed if Aaron doesn't also select this.
Oh,
but
boy.
Well, mostly because we were involved in it together. So when we were at South by Southwest this year, there was a particular movie that he and I both really, really wanted to see. To the extent that we were willing to take a nap in a hotel lobby to ensure that we could attend and also not miss our flight and not like book another hotel room for a night and all that good stuff.
Because they're very expensive at that time
of year. Oh, super expensive. And so we went to go see Evil Dead Rise. Sam Raimi was there. Mm-hmm. Bruce Campbell was there. Mm-hmm. Everybody was there. And also that included a drunk guy who yelled at them and also caused like a major scene to the point where Bruce Campbell told him to fuck off. Best experience of my entire year.
Agreed. Agreed. Yep. All true story. All a true story.
It was a fun as hell event.
That was fabulous, except for our planning. We really should have got a hotel and just stayed a little longer.
Probably.
My God, we slept in the lobby of the hotel we have been staying in. So they were fine with us being there. We actually just found like some couches and kind of crashed there. And I can't sleep like that. So I did not sleep. I think, Amanda, you got a little bit, but
I got a tiny little bit of a nap. Yeah.
But it was worth it to stay because it was a phenomenal experience. I love Evil Dead like since I was a kid. So the idea, even though I've seen Bruce Campbell like 10 times, but I've never met Sam Raimi and never seen Sam Raimi to watch the movie with them there, even though they weren't in the movie, but they were producers. And then to have that experience where Bruce Willis is just telling a guy to fuck off, that's just a dream come true.
Bruce Campbell.
Bruce Campbell.
What did I say?
Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis.
Oh, my God.
He can't remember what he was
doing. I have the Bruce Willis problem.
I was going to say, you sound like Bruce Willis. Stop.
You're not talking to anybody.
Oh, I meant Bruce Campbell. And I'm going to hell for that, too. Yeah, I would agree. That's a like-minded experience. Yep. What about you guys? Troy, John, either one of you?
I mean, I did the Barbenheimer, so I did the 7 hours. And honestly, that was a lot of fun just to be able to go to the movie theater by myself.
Were they both packed?
Yeah.
Were they?
Like, very, very full on both accounts. And I had a 1 hour space in between, so I was able to get some ramen, which was mighty tasty. So from a movie experience, I'd have to say that. From a TV experience, I think Silo was probably my most favorite TV watching experience because I started that up and I just could not put that show down. Like I burned through as quickly as I possibly could to get to the end of that one. Mm. And it was nice that Arjun was also watching Silo about the same time. So we were able to ping thoughts back and forth.
Yeah, that was a good time. The whole fact we were able to share that experience together was really cool. Similarly, the one that as far as TV goes for me, Last of Us, which is a show that I was just interested in watching just for the sake of watching the show. I don't have any sort of background on the video game, so it was nice to be able to sit down and watch something brand new to me. And then doing that with my friend Eli, doing the show that I did with that, which you can find on our Patreon if you pay a little bit of money for it.
Absolutely.
we did a show for that season of Last of Us, and it was a good time doing it with Scott and doing the show with my friend Eli. It was just a lot of fun to have those conversations, and it made me miss Scott. My movie experience was Dungeons and Dragons, the new Dungeons and Dragons movie. Ooh. Going to see that with my nerdy Dungeons and Dragons friends, and us loving every single minute of that. They're just the way they executed it, figuring out what was happening, like the dice mm-hmm. rolls behind every single mm-hmm. moment, and you know that sort of thing. The nerdy thinking about that was just a good time.
Hell yeah, brother.
Yeah, we saw that at South By, too, because that's where it premiered at South By Southwest.
It was a close runner-up for me.
Mando, Chris Pine and Michelle Rodriguez were in the same room.
Good God.
And I don't think Amanda could understand. I don't think she could determine which way she was going that night. She was just all over the place. Yeah.
Both?
Just like, to the left, to the right, to the left, to the right. My God. Yeah.
Oh, man, that was a beautiful, beautiful evening.
But I tell you, that was a movie, and I think we got lucky because the movie, it did okay, it didn't do great. I think it's done wonderful now that it's been streaming. But we got to see that with a packed audience, and I think if that movie would have gotten more people in the theater, it would have been a huge hit because everybody loved it. Everybody loved it.
Absolutely.
I can't blame them. It's one of the great movies. Since it's come out, I've rewatched it several times.
Samesies.
I also want to piggyback on Troy. You know, the Barbenheimer experience, you know, I didn't do both the same day. I did them separate. But I will say it was very cool to see people so excited to go to the movies and go in the same day or go in the same weekend and see two completely different films. And you were getting people that I normally would associate with a film like Oppenheimer that were seeing Barbie and vice versa. And they were having completely different experiences, but everybody was enjoying it. And I thought that was just a phenomenal time for theaters. Like, it was just very exciting.
Completely different movies, though?
Were they? Yes, they were. Shut up.
I think
contemplating death and whether or not your existence really matters.
Sure. That's one way to look at it. You would find the spin, right? Good on Troy. Good for you. Jesus. So weird. Okay, how about the most impactful celebrity death of 2023? We vaguely talked about this when we did the listener questions, but who really hit you in the feels?
Yeah, this one was a tough question because there were just so many people to choose from. But then I was looking through the list of people we lost this year, and the one that surprised me the most, I think, was Lance Reddick. Just completely out of nowhere to me. No idea that was something that was going to happen this year. Just losing that much of a character actor that we've had some for throughout the years. Hollywood glue, as we can call him, because he's been in so many things, and everything he's been in, he adds to it just by being Lance Reddick. So yeah, that was the one that got me.
I'll piggyback onto John, because I mean, you have, yeah, the big ones, right? Matthew Perry, Susan Summers, Bob Barker. I mean, there's a bunch of them on there. But Lance was somebody that you just didn't recognize as being out there until he like really impacted scenes that were in your favorite shows. I mean, he was in Lost. He was obviously Broyles in Fringe, and Fringe is one of my, you know, greatest TV shows that I've seen in my lifetime. I really, really enjoyed Fringe. He was also the cowboy in The Blacklist. So Lance has been around, but most importantly, it's going to be sad that when they make the Horizon video game into the live action show that they're going to do, Lance was one of the main characters and is actually one of the big villains in the first game. And to not have Lance be in that role when they do the live action is just going to be weird. I don't even know if they're going to do the show without him. I mean, that's the kind of impact he had in the video game specifically. Mm-hmm.
The one that had the biggest impact, like biggest surprise of an impact for me, would be Matthew Perry, because I was never crazy about Friends. Obviously I watched it, but I didn't watch every single episode of the series. I wasn't obsessed with it. I know like the jokes and the general storyline and all of that stuff, but the thing that impacted me the most about his death was after I had read something that he had said in an interview, I think prior to, you know, years prior to him passing, where he had said, you know, I know everyone when I pass away is going to talk about Friends and my contribution, you know, to entertainment in that sense and all of that. He's like, but I really want people to focus on all of the good work that I've done from like a nonprofit standpoint and all of the cool things that he did. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was just, that is what shattered my heart, because it was all about Friends. And that's not to take away, you know, he obviously had a significant impact in people's lives because of his character on Friends. But it's just one of those things where it's like nobody was even talking about all the other amazing things that he did. And I don't know, it really touched me on like a deeper level. The one that I would say I had, you know, would be like a second runner up, if you will, is Angus Cloud from Euphoria, who played Fez.
Oh, yeah.
It was just so devastating and depressing, you know, somebody who's that young and it's so unexpected, and the manner in which he died, and it's just crushed my heart. He was like 25 years old.
Yeah, mine would be Lance Reddick too. And what was funny about the, and I'm sorry about the Angus. There's a movie called Your Lucky Day, I think is what it's called. Luke Barnett, who's a friend of the show, he's got a big Twitter following, but he's a producer on that. We interviewed him years ago, but I think he's a producer. I think it's called Your Lucky Day, and that's mm-hmm. Angus's last movie.
Yeah,
and great reviews, so I highly recommend you check that out. I still want to see it. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't had the opportunity.
But I have one more I want to mention before we move on.
You had.
I was
going
to say before we move on.
All right. So Lance Reddick. The reason why it stood out for me, Matthew Perry, you know, hit me by surprise just because he's so young. I totally agree with that. I mean, he wasn't old. Lance Reddick, I thought, was way younger than he was. I mean, He was 60 years old. And I'm like, he is?
He's a beautiful looking man.
Beautiful man. Like, great impressive. Shape. You know, except, yeah. you know, his, except for the fact he can't move his head very well. And I'm sure that's, there's a reason for that that I haven't looked into. I didn't mean it as a joke, but keep laughing. He was an actor that really impressed me because once I heard that he had left this mortal coil, I was gutted. And I didn't realize how many things that guy is in that I love. He, Bosch, John Wick, and that like Fringe. Like it just goes on and on. There's so many things that he's been in that I've loved that I didn't realize he was such an impact on me. I just didn't, it didn't dawn on me. He's such a great character actor that it really just hit me in the gut.
The Wire. How do we forget The
Wire? The Wire. Yeah. Oh God, The Wire is such a good show too. John, what, who's the person you wanted to mention?
I figure because three of us mentioned Lance Reddick, I wanted to make sure that Ray Stevens was also mentioned because he's somebody else who just completely surprised me. And especially because we got Ahsoka this year and he was such an integral part of that show. But also the things that he has showed up in, he's another one of these people who showed up in so many things and he's always added to them. You know, God, I can't even think of him, but I know he's got to start his, he became prominent when with Rome on HBO and then kind of went off from there.
Well, in that case, since there's two now that have Lance Reddick, then I'll throw another one out there. And Paul Rubens, obviously iconic for most of us on this podcast growing up, right? We watched Pee Wee Herman, Pee Wee's Playhouse.
I didn't watch that.
You never watched?
No.
You didn't watch Pee Wee's Playhouse?
Mm-mm. I like darker shit, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Today's secret word is Aaron's a dumbass. Yeah, no,
I've saw a couple episodes. I like Paul Rubens, but I just didn't watch Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Yeah, he was iconic. I mean, he was in a lot of stuff too, just, you know, on the side when you think about it. Like he was in Batman Returns and the Blues Brothers and Cheech and Chong's and Mystery Men and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And I mean,
that's his Buffy performance.
Which is that noise is actually what you then hear at the end of the TV production thing when the Buffy, the TV show actually came on. So it's like, that's how iconic that was from Paul Rubens. So yeah, definitely a character actor. He's just really, really good and sad to see that Pee-wee is no longer here.
Absolutely. And I want to jump back to the theatrical experiences because I didn't mention this and I wanted to and I forgot. So another thing that I love theatrically is my mom, my dad, and my wife went and saw Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour.
Oh, I love that. That's amazing.
they went. I wasn't able to, or I would have went. All three of them came out raving. Now, my dad does not know Taylor Swift. I think he saw her in a country. She opened for a
Tim McGraw
or something like years and years and years ago. So he told me he was going. I'm like, what? I just let my wife and mom go. You don't need to be there. He's like, no, I want to check it out. You'd have to know my dad, but he's not the most open-minded guy in the world. He's not. He says he is. He's not. But he came out raving. He was excited. Everybody was like just gleaming. They're just excited and they had a great time. He loved it. They had a wonderful just experience at this concert. That people were apparently in the theater running, doing all the things I can't stand in a movie theater. You know, they're just having a great time singing along and being loud and having fun. Can't stand that. Don't have fun in my movie. But apparently that was the whole point of this concert and they loved it. And it was just such a cool experience to hear people raving about, not just them, but I heard everyone that went and saw that absolutely loved it. So that's a cool experience that I feel like might not be duplicated anytime soon. No disrespect to Beyonce. I just think Taylor Swift, it's her year.
Yeah, sorry, Bae, but wow, I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous of everybody who got that experience.
You should have went.
I should have, and I just kept... I even had a ticket that I paid for that was non-refundable, but work, you know? I just didn't get around to it.
I don't know what to tell you.
No, it was very sad.
Hey, before we move on, we have to mention this. This is exciting news that the movie that's been talked about all year, really, and directed by the great Martin Scorsese, Killers of the Flower Moon is an absolute masterpiece and is now available on digital. Lily Gladstone, alongside Academy Award winners Leonardo DiCaprio and Robert De Niro, all give powerful performance in this riveting film based on a true story. And you can buy the epic Western crime saga Killers of the Flower Moon now on digital right now. It's rated R from Apple Original Films and Paramount Pictures. We talked about this several episodes back. This is a great film, expected to be nominated for a lot of awards. And you just can't go wrong with Leo, De Niro, Scorsese, and now Gladstone. This is awesome. Killers of the Flower Moon. Be sure to check it out. And now back to the show. So most personal discussion creating TV or movie news from 2023, meaning you talked more about this news story than anything else, or it hit you particularly hard for whatever reason.
Are we skipping the casting?
You know what? Let's go back to what else is on the format. How about the most exciting casting or announcement of a film or TV series in 2023, Troy?
This has to be, because it's, you said announcement, so I will say live action Avatar The Last Airbender on Netflix, which happened in just the last week or two. That was like the minute you saw the iceberg, the minute you saw Zuko, the minute you saw Appa and Momo, and you're just like, yes, this is the cleansing of the M. Night Shyamalan disaster that we need. It looks fantastic. I really hope that it hits the mark. I know there were some challenges with the original creators and Netflix initially when this was talked about. So I'm crossing fingers, because man, like, that story is just so good. So good in the cartoon that a live action version of it would just be freaking fantastic.
This is going to be a little bit of a surprise, but mine's going to have to be Kurt and Wyatt Russell in Monarch, Legacy of Monsters.
Oh, real surprise. You tied it back into Godzilla.
Hey, you know,
I'm shocked.
At least I didn't say there was a Godzilla TV show coming, because that would have been predictable. He actually talked about the actors, not the monsters.
Right. True. I didn't even say Godzilla. I just said Legacy, you know, Monarch, Legacy of Monsters. So that's what I said. I didn't even go Godzilla or anything like that.
Okay.
So that's my two cents.
For me, that Pedro Pascal, who I have such a big crush on, and Chris Hemsworth are in this Crime 101 that Netflix and Amazon are apparently fighting over for the rights for it. Sounds interesting. And also Pedro Pascal. So all I needed.
There's also a rumor he's the cast for Fantastic Four, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like I'll take everything. All, roles, all right? Of it.
He's going to do Doctor Doom. Yeah, he's going to do Stretch.
The Year of Pedro.
Invisible Woman. All of them.
Maybe it was confirmed.
I think it was confirmed, actually.
Yeah, there's so much I can't keep up with. Here's the one that got me, okay? It's weird, but Walton Goggins, one of my favorite character actors. He was confirmed this year for Fallout, the TV series Fallout. I didn't give two shits about Fallout. I don't care about the game. I don't care about the show. I just didn't care. You cast Walton Goggins, now all of a sudden, all I want to see is Fallout. Mm-hmm. And I saw the trailer, because the trailer came out. I think it comes out in April, the show. Now I'm all excited about it, because I'm like, Walton Goggins is in Fallout. This is going to be a great show. Just because he makes everything, literally everything, better. Everything.
I would agree.
God.
Not that everybody on this show would understand fully to the full extent.
Yeah. Troy's getting there. Little by little. Little by little.
Yeah, Troy.
Little by little.
Justified for reference, for context, for those listening.
He's getting there, but he's still really early in Justified's first season, so he hasn't seen the full Goggins.
Which sounds like a problem that he needs to address.
Which, by the way, I've decided on the film that you need to watch, Troy, due to our bet that you lost.
Oh,
which,
okay.
Coincidentally, was tied into Taylor Swift. If you didn't know, he thought this movie was going to be way bigger than it was, and I was correct. So the movie I want you to watch, and I'm actually going to do you a solid, because I think this will help you. I want you to watch
as a person? Like, is this therapy or something?
No, this is...
Is this an intervention? No. Intervention by movie?
This is a movie that's right up your alley. I'm actually not going to punish you. I'm going to reward you.
Okay.
You know,
Magic Mike,
to incentivize you to admit when you're wrong more often. So
there's the therapy part.
Magic Mike. No, I told you about this last week. The Artifice Girl. It's a movie I saw at South by Southwest, but it's a wonderful film. It's available now. You'll have to rent it. That's on you. But it is a great film that really takes a look at AI, but it's more of a thinking piece. It's not flashy. There's no real special effects or anything. It's a very small, intimate kind of film. But that's the movie I want you to watch. It's about AI that's created to kind of take down pedophiles, and then that AI progresses and what that means for technology, for people, for humans, and for society. It's a very, very, very smart movie. Very little indie movie, but I think you're going to love it.
So you can rent it for $5 or buy it for $10.
That's up to you if you want to rewatch it.
Why would you spend $5 to watch it once when you can spend $10 to keep watching it?
And some people don't watch movies over again. I'm banking you're going to love it. I could be wrong, but you let me know after we come back from the break. How's that?
This will be the 2023 version of Ex Machina. I remember when you recommended Ex Machina, and I was like, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's not as good as Ex Machina, but it's good. It's very good. Like it'll make my top 10 list for the year. Spoiler alert.
I love the movie poster. Artifice girl, the A and the I are in different colors. Yeah,
you like that?
It needs like 10% more Oscar Isaac in it to be better than X.
It's true. It does. All right. Now, here's the thing I was going to, and I screwed everything up. So what's the most personal discussion creating TV or movie news item for 2023? Meaning you talked about this news story more than any other, or it hit you particularly hard. Sound like I'm saying something you've already heard before? It's because you did, because I'm not editing this very much.
Lazy.
Yep. This is good.
Well, no, this, not gonna no, spend this, this is not lazy. This is good for him. This is good for him. Let him. Don't pick at him.
Letting him let himself loose in the reins is good for on him. Himself.
Don't, yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. don't.
Growth. Aw.
You're making me want to edit. You really are. Like, you're making me want to just tear this bitch apart. Oh, I lead. Shit. I can't even read my own format. So,
you know.
we're discovering this.
What a day. It must have already been a week for Aaron. Oh, my God.
No, this one, I would love to say the strikes, but I don't think that would fit, because I just think that's more of a private, intimate thing with them. But that did. Okay. So here we go. I'll speak on the podcast, then I'll speak for myself. That affected the podcast quite a bit. The strikes, the writer strike, the actor strikes, because man, it was like months where we had nothing really to talk about, and we still got the episodes out. Right. I think we were still pretty entertaining.
We tried. We did our best.
And
yeah.
But there were a lot.
Sans Amanda, like 42 weeks.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Just step it back in the shadows where you belong.
Oh my God. Oh, wow. I try taking accountability and make some comedy out of it, and you just shun me away.
I think we were talking about the strikes and you made it about you. That's what I heard. Isn't that what you guys heard?
No, you guys were saying that you guys did a good job getting episodes out every week, and I was saying sans me. Oh, like, good job, you guys, for getting them out every week.
Well, thank you. Thank you, stranger.
I'm pretty sure I saw more movies in the theater than you showed up for the show this year.
That may or may not be true. I think it would probably be a really close tie. Okay.
Wow. Yeah,
that was a dig.
Wow.
Can we count inspired by a true story? Because then I would definitely be ahead.
That's because it's on weekends. That's the only reason.
I know. Yeah. I know.
Okay. So I will say I was very proud that, because we could have just shut down. Honestly, we'll come back when the strikes are, because there was no news. There's no news when the actors aren't working and they can't report on any casting announcements, and they weren't really doing much, you know, in terms of newness. So it was an interesting time. But anyway, for me personally, I'll be honest, like the DC announcement from James Gunn that the DC EU is going mm-hmm. away, and that Henry Cavill is mm-hmm. not going to be Superman. And that basically Gal Gadot probably mm-hmm. won't be Wonder Woman, and this will probably be the end of Aquaman. Mm-hmm. And I love James Gunn. Mm-hmm. I do. I love him. I think he killed that universe himself. I think those movies would have done exponentially mm-hmm. better. Maybe not exponentially, but would have done at least somewhat better.
For sure, if
people didn't assume that it just didn't matter anymore. And that's the vision he created. He told everybody, these movies don't matter anymore. We're going to move on. We're going to do something new. I'm going to create a whole new world. But, and then he started like cherry picking what could stay. Peacemaker can stay. But Aquaman's got to go, probably. Well, Aquaman was in Peacemaker. That doesn't make any goddamn sense. You know, there's several things. Like, that whole thing, I think, was handled, as much as I love James Gunn, I think he handled it really piss poor. And it got a little bit egomaniacal, in my opinion. And I know we're not supposed to say that because we all love James Gunn, but I feel like his ego got the best of him on that, my opinion. What say you? Anybody have any thoughts on this, or am I?
No. This has been the thing that has pissed me off the most this year. I mean, this is one of the reasons why I've been saying for years, like, the tribalism between DC and Marvel has been driving me nuts, because you should be able to enjoy both. It should be equally as fun, and you should be able to enjoy different stories, and it doesn't need to be Marvel being shoved down our throat 100% of the time, because look what happens. But for them to come in and decide to just rip everything apart and come up with something different, it just breaks my heart, because I loved the Superman that we had. I loved the Wonder Woman we had. I adored the Batman we had finally. It was like the first time in a long time I'm like, that's my Batman. You know, there's just so many things about the DCEU that I was looking forward to seeing how it grew. And I don't think it ever really got a chance, because it was too much studio interference, too much BS about, like, the smallest amount of voices making the most amount of noise on the internet, too much of just everything that was that's wrong with the movie making industry. And then you have James Gunn show up and he's like, yeah, we're gonna kill it all. That just broke my heart.
Yeah, I also don't know how can you even be okay with getting rid of some of the top fundraisers for your business. You know what I mean? Like, Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman and Jason Momoa as Aquaman are, like, fan favorites at this point. I feel like there was a way, to Aaron's point, if we can retain some of these, why can't we retain them all? Are the ones that are worthwhile.
And don't get me wrong. I mean, I feel like some of them weren't being made very good movies. I mean, obviously,
yeah,
The Flash probably was going to implode anyway. Ezra didn't help that at all with his situation. Henry Cavill, though, I don't think people had a problem with Henry Cavill. They had a problem with the stories that were being told. He could have been reshaped. And then you have an existing fan base, and then you win them over with new stuff. That's
exactly.
I don't see any problem with that. But I mean, maybe this will be the best way to do it. I don't know. But seeing a guy basically burn it all down, and I don't hear anyone saying, I shouldn't have said that yet. And I really don't know how, at the end of the year, when all those movies flopped, that were basically sequels to semi-successful movies, if not successful movies, and now they're flopping. How you can't take any accountability for that, I mean, I guess you can't in that situation, because you want to make sure to keep hitting the gas going forward, right? But I think James Gunn had a huge hand to play in burning that whole enterprise down.
He might have, but those movies also were not great movies. The second Wonder Woman movie, nowhere near as good as the first one.
There was greatness there. It wasn't, and none of it was a casting issue to me.
No. Like,
Gal Gadot, wonderful. Henry Cavill, there were moments, if you go watch Zack Snyder's Justice League, he's great as Superman in that. So don't tell me he can't be a great Superman. Aquaman, Jason Momoa, now granted, that one still could possibly, if the movie ends up being a huge hit, but it's not looking like it's going to be, because people think the universe is dead. Why bother? But Jason Momoa is the only person that's ever made Aquaman interesting in its entirety, as far as I'm concerned. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm passionate about that.
Yeah, but even Shazam 2 didn't do as great as Shazam 1 did.
True.
So, I mean,
sure. Absolutely. That's true. But how much of that is because he told people, this world is dead, I'm rebuilding it.
Yeah, that's a...
If you're still a Shazam fan, you're going to see Shazam. If you're a Wonder Woman fan, you're going to see Wonder Woman.
Shazam isn't that... Like, Shazam isn't a top tier comic book character. Shazam is like a B level DC character.
But Zachary Levi is a big draw because of everything he does in the entertainment industry.
I don't think he is. I don't think Levi's a draw at all.
The first Shazam movie was,
well, then you just like Levi because you like other stuff he's done.
Well, he's done a lot of great stuff. I mean, he was in Mrs. Maisel. He was in Chuck. I mean, Operation Smile stuff that he does, and the Nerd Herd stuff that he does, and yeah, I mean, He's a force in entertainment stuff, and I don't know why more people don't know about him, because he was great in the first Shazam. It was awesome.
Yeah.
The first one was fantastic.
The second Shazam abysmal. Was like,
it was abysmal. Awful. Absolutely.
Yeah. They didn't really know what direction terrible. They were going, and it was just too much.
And don't get me wrong, bad movies don't help either, but the openings were shit too, and I think a lot of that had to do with you tell the fans that the world isn't there, they don't care about the world.
Right.
Who else wants to go?
I mean, you said personal discussion, mm-hmm. talked about more than anything would be the Blacklist finale this year, I guess.
Sure. Sure thing.
Because, man, like 10 years of work on that podcast just to have it end the way it did. And then just the countless conversations over and over and over about how it ended. And then the countless conversations about the people that still think that they didn't get an answer. It feels like Lost all over again.
Jesus. The fact that people, this is literally, is it okay? Is it safe to talk about at this point? I think it should be, right?
I mean, the season 10 just dropped on Netflix in the last month or two.
Okay, well, skip ahead 1 minute if you don't want to know what I'm going to say about the ending. Okay, so in the ending, it's Red Reddington is Liz's mother in the show. Okay, sorry, spoiler alert. Well, I already gave you the alert. That's the fact. That's the truth. That's exactly what it is.
And that was known 2 years ago.
Yes, they announced that they basically showed you on the show. Well, not basically. They showed you on the show 2 years ago. If you didn't want to accept it, that's on you. There's a myriad of reasons that led to that moment. That's who Katerina Rostova always was and became Red Reddington for her own well-being as well as to protect her daughter. Anyway, so the idea that fans wanted them to basically just have James Spader look in the camera and say, hey guys, just so you know, I used to be Katerina Rostova, but now I'm Red Reddington. And I had, you know, just basically lay out everything step by step by step. That's what they wanted. And it's a ridiculous ask, especially if you look at anything in the modern environment with wokeness and all that other stuff. That was never going to happen. I just can't understand. Now, don't get me wrong. The finale was horrible for a lot of other different reasons. This just wasn't one of them. They gave you the answer.
I didn't even track Blacklist every season to season, but I watched the episode where they had the reveal, and it was pretty clear. Felt pretty clear. And also the ending of the series, I also watched that. Pretty terrible.
Did you watch?
Just saying.
Yeah, that's pretty terrible.
I started by having Troy give, because you refused, having Troy give me the full rundown of the ending of the last episode to determine if I was going to.
I didn't want to ruin it for you.
You did. You were like, I don't want to. Aaron, I haven't watched the show religiously. I'm asking you because I want to know, and Wikipedia doesn't have the answer yet. And so I went to Troy. Troy gives me all the details. I mean, I got to give Troy props. When you want him to tell you something, boy, does he go in detail.
Better get a
so
pen and paper.
So I get the whole rundown,
sit down.
Right?
Yep.
So I get the whole rundown. I'm like, okay, now I got to watch this. Now I got to see what the hell you two are so mad about, and the entire like internet is mad about, and let me watch it. And I was like, wow, that's rude.
I wouldn't say we were mad about it. I was mad about it.
I still am.
We were frustrated because there are things.
Same thing.
There were things that had to happen that didn't happen. Mainly the wrestler and Red relationship that needed more.
Mainly the writing needed more.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that
mm-hmm.
was the whole last two seasons.
Yeah, wasn't that good? Wasn't that good?
It's like we like to say, the Blacklist ended with season 8, then the Blacklist Red's Revenge was season 9 and 10. It was like a whole other spinoff show, like Bosch Legacy.
Bosch Legacy, though, was still good. So, thank God. Thank God we got that.
My piece of news was around the general theme of Lady Power. The general theme of Lady Power really got to me this year.
That's cool.
Barbie, the monologue, watching that with like a bunch of women and kids and even men in the movie theater, and having everyone talk it up and leading up to the film and also following the film. And then you had Taylor Swift, who is like another now like female icon that's changing the world in so many different ways, mm-hmm. and creating different avenues. And not only all of that that exists, but she also changed the course of opportunity for the way films are procured by the theater. Like she somehow managed to bypass the entire system that has been set up that I don't think anybody else prior to her had ever even come close to accomplishing. And she's like, no, I'm gonna do what I want to do. And she is this insane businesswoman. And it, to me, it mirrors the same theme as like the Barbie character and how she's this beloved, but also hated, icon, strong, successful leader lady. But there's always people who are going to tear that woman down because they interpret from their perspective that character or person to be slutty or stupid or, just all of the stereotypes of women. And then you have this movie that becomes this mega monster success and changes, I can't tell you how many kids I saw on Halloween or leading up to Halloween that were wearing Barbie costumes. I wore a Barbie costume. And you have people like Taylor Swift who are literally changing the game. And all of that hate, all of that, contentious bullshit that people put towards Barbie and Taylor Swift over and have for several decades, all got squashed this year. All of that was like irrelevant because now these two are incredibly successful. And I know I'm talking about Barbie as if like Barbie is a real human being, but I really am just talking about what that character represents to people. Now. She is. She absolutely is. So it was just such a cool year. And it wasn't in a way where, it tore down anybody else's rights or perspectives or anything like that. It wasn't like, boo, men suck, men are the worst. It was, hey, women are cool and awesome and powerful too. And like, let's just hype up women for once. Mm-hmm. And it was really cool. And then after all of that, you have Beyonce's film come out following Taylor Swift's footsteps, again, making a mark. And all of the women who are, celebrities going to her premiere are hyping each other up. Like all of these, it's just woman, lady, power, love. And I was just feeling it this year.
Oh man, I went to the, when I went to the theater, I don't remember what I saw. I just saw it. We reviewed it like last week or whatever. And I don't even remember what the movie was. The Holdovers. And I went and saw The Holdovers. There was, because Beyonce came out that night. And there were several couples. They were all dressed up to the nines. I mean, in full dinnerware, like dinner gear.
I
like
love that.
Long flowing dress. Like they're going to an awards banquet or something. And, I went over to one of them and I just said, I just want to tell you guys, you look fabulous. You look amazing, like absolutely fabulous. And they were like, oh, thank you, very cool. I'm like, what are you here to see? And honestly, I just didn't realize it was the Beyonce movie. And they're like, well, we're here to see Renaissance. And I'm like, that's so cool. You're gonna dress like you're actually going to the concert. Like, well, Beyonce never came here, so I'm gonna bring myself to Beyonce.
Oh, I love that.
It's just very cool. Like, that's so, yeah, amazing. That's amazing. That's amazing. And you have the same thing. You have people dressing up for Barbie. You have people dressing up for Taylor Swift. I just love seeing stuff like that. I think that's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, you can tell people are invested when they start to make it their Halloween costume.
Man, I dressed as Ken for Halloween. I get it.
Yeah.
Because I am Knuff.
We are all Knuff.
Johnny, what about you? Or was yours also the
DC thing? Mine was also the DC thing.
Hey, one more thing before we move on. I know that we love the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and now you can pick up Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem on Blu-ray and digital. After years of hiding, the Turtle Brothers hit the streets of New York to take on an army of mutants in this hilarious action-packed adventure. People freaking love this movie. You can enjoy over 40 minutes of bonus content, too, when you buy it on Blu-ray. It's rated PG from Paramount Pictures. Perfect family entertainment for the holidays, right? So check out Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem. It's on digital and Blu-ray now. Now back to the show. I got a big question. This is really open to anybody, but I'm going to let Troy lead because he's Mr. TV. What is the next advancement of TV or film? Any thoughts?
I mean, I feel like it's kind of already here with this latest TCL TV that came out that was IMAX certified. So the fact that I could watch IMAX content in my home, like that seems pretty big. I mean, it did the choose your own adventure thing with Kaleidoscope and the Black Mirror episode thing. I don't know. Like, I feel like we have to get back to something that's like a communal watching experience in the television arena. So I still like our idea of like, and this probably goes for film too, but not necessarily film, but the movie theaters. I really think with the concert movies, although Beyonce's movie didn't open up to such you know, amazing numbers as Taylor's.
It's still open really well, though.
It's still open well for a concert film, right? Mm-hmm. That most people have already seen. The thing of exhibiting different things in the theater, like probably about the time you hear this, The Abyss 4K Special Edition, which to me is a great film. I mean, I don't need the extra pieces, but the extra pieces do help the movie in some way. But that's coming back to the theater. Like, there's people who have never seen The Abyss. So to be able to see The Abyss in a theater, I think that's great. Just don't talk to Ed Harris about it. And
yeah, he hated that experience, right?
He hated the experience. Yeah, I think like stuff like that. Like we talked about, I think previously, right? Football in the movie theater, the Final Four in the movie theater. Like that, we need to do more communal live events in the theater. And I think that will help TV, because then you're going to change the model for how TV makes money if you do that.
Yeah, I would watch the Oscars in the theater. I mean, stuff for like sure. That.
I think that'd be an amazing evening. Like, y'all dress up and go to John's fancy place and go to the bar and get some food and have people. Like, that's where the wait staff at a movie theater, like that would come in well for something like the Oscars or a football game. For an hour and a half, 2 hour movie, no. Like, get my stuff before the movie and don't bother me once the lights go down.
Yeah, we need more large events, large scale events, big series finales in a movie theater. I think that would, like, I still say Game of Thrones, if they would have aired the finale in a theater, I would totally have went and saw it.
They would have made so much money. Yeah.
I don't remember what the exact numbers were, but the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade was like 1980s, 90s ratings. Like, it was huge, like almost Super Bowl level for the amount of people that watch the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade live. Not even
do you think people would pay for that, though? But or you could broadcast it and just make money off the snacks too, I guess.
Yeah, you can definitely do something like that where you're making fun of money off of just the concessions, and especially in a place like Center Bistro where you have a wait staff, which would be great for the wait staff, really, because they have in a day in which they would have little to no tickets running, they can be running a bunch of tickets throughout the day when it comes to, I need more beer, I need more jujubes. I was really surprised to see, because I had a lot of friends that you know, I went to Orange Theory, and they were like, on their way out, and I'm like, what are you guys doing here so early? And they're like, well, we had to make sure we got this done so we can go home and watch the parade. What parade? The Macy's Day Parade. That's still a thing? So.
Interesting. I didn't watch it, so I didn't.
And then you could do different experiences. I think the NFL has tried this year with laying on the Toy Story over the football players, or even the Nickelodeon, you know, splash zone, slime have zone.
A different showing where kids can go and watch a different version of it, kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you just have a whole bunch of people sitting there going like, man, Al Roker's been doing this thing forever. Mystery Science Theater. kind of like totally like bash the parade the entire time. Like, fun. You could do all kinds of cool things that are like multi-screen experiences also could come into play. There's a lot that could be done. I mean, I think multi-screen is going to be the big thing. I know that X-Ray tries to do that with the Prime experience, right, with the IMDb tie-in. But I think multi-screen stuff, like interactivity with the show via your secondary device, I think is going to be the big thing.
I feel like it's just got to be a matter of time until we start having more, like, VR options within the theater to really have, like, an immersive experience. Like, I know we have, you know, 4DX and all of that good stuff, but if you put somebody in an environment where, like, they get to see and feel everything like you can on, like, a PlayStation VR or something, I feel like just somehow virtual reality has to get integrated, or will get integrated in some way.
I'm hoping that we'll start seeing more uses for augmented reality. You know, I saw something amazing, which was somebody had augmented reality glasses on, and the TV in front of them, they had playing a basketball game. But coming out of the TV was the exact basketball game, and it showed the players running around on a 3D landscape coming out of the TV. So you still had the game up on the screen, but there was more of, because of the augmented reality, you can actually walk around like a tabletop that had the layout of the players, where they're moving to, where the ball was being thrown to. So you can still be like, really see everything from a different point of view. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. And that's the thing about augmented reality that I think is more fascinating than virtual reality. The augmented reality, you have the glasses on, you still see the world around you, but with gestures and everything, you can actually throw a TV screen up on the wall and it works just like a TV screen does. You can put Netflix up there or whatever, and you can move it around to wherever you're looking or wherever you want it to be.
That's a Minority Report.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There. For whatever reason, it excites me more than VR because of the still being connected to a world, but like a viewing experience with that sort of thinking, like the basketball game, but for movies or television shows, would be very cool.
All right, well, year's coming to an end. What do you think about 2023 now that it's coming to an end? Anybody? Are you just glad it's coming to an end, or? Are you excited for next year? Did you wish you would have done something else this year? We had the cruise this year. That was a great memory.
The cruise was amazing.
I will have to say that 2023 for me is probably the bright light in a few years of darkness. And it's been a really good year of growth, a really good year of reconnecting with myself, and a really good year of discovering parts of myself that I had either cut off or misplaced or whatever you want to terminology you want to use, compartmentalized right out of myself, that I've been able to reconnect and redevelop myself into somebody that I am proud of and I enjoy. And I can get to the point where I'm getting back into going to the theaters by myself again. I'm getting back into watching more things that I enjoy. I'm working on getting back into doing more artwork again. I'm working back into doing all the things that I like to do, like fly drones, run outside, you know, everything that makes me, but also be the kind of person that I've always thought of myself as, or I'd hoped I'd be when I was a kid, which is somebody that makes people feel safe, makes people say it feel connected, cared for. All those things is what I've been working on this year. And I'm looking forward to 2024 being more of the same of just rebuilding this life of mine into something that is amazing.
How the hell is anybody supposed to follow that?
Well, I'm not going to try to make anybody's life better. So, yeah. How's that? Does that follow it pretty well? Good for you, John. You're doing better than me.
That's awesome.
No, this year was good. More movies, more TV shows, more video games, more hanging out with friends. You know, just trying to find a lot of good time. Yeah, this compared to like 2020 to 2022, this finally felt like a good year of exciting and new and fresh and all that fun stuff. So 2024, though, unfortunately, is probably going to be a little bit of a downer because, you know, election.
I'm not even going to think about that.
And we're not going to have a lot of stuff to escape to because of the strike. So it's going to take a while for everything to kind of show up in the theaters.
Do you think so, though? I mean, because there's already so much stuff, we'll actually be able to.
I think you're going to get a front load of stuff because the front load of stuff is almost kind of done, but there's going to be a black
hole. You can always go to visit Amanda and take part in some edibles.
Good. Exactly. I've got space. Come on out.
The way November's looking, man, I'm telling you.
I may have to at that point. I'd be like, that's it. I'm out.
2023 for me was definitely a year of reflection and getting into stability slowly, very slowly, but surely. And just kind of learning for myself of what I want to spend my time doing. And I will say that while I had a lot of focus, you know, getting settled into my new life and all of that stuff, I really, really have missed being at the movie theater. I've gone to the movie theater twice over the past couple of weeks, which I have not done in I can't tell you how long. And it was so cathartic for me to just get out of my house, to go to the movie theater and enjoy some of the things that I used to be able to, you know, spend all my time doing. And doing routinely. And it's been a very different and challenging year, you know, when you relocate somewhere and you know basically nobody at all, and you have to start from the ground up. It's different, but it's been an interesting year, and I'm looking forward to next year because, like I said, I'm starting to feel a little bit of stability in my life.
The thing I think is cool about you feeling a little bit of stability in your life right now is that it is your stability. It is your life. It is you doing it. And I think that's very cool and commendable. And I'm proud of you for that.
Mm, Thank you.
As opposed to somebody else having stability in her life?
She knows what she...
He's doing a roundabout. She knows what I meant. He's doing a roundabout. He's saying that, you know, yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
I thought this was a very monumental year for me. Well, I turned a corner on a big age that I really just don't really want to get into. And made a major personal career change in a very, very positive way, which was awesome. And, you know, still have kept up with this, which was surprising because for a while I'm like, I don't know if I could still do this, but making it work. And, you know, having the cruise that we mentioned earlier, if you didn't know, we took a Hollywood Outsider cruise in June, and it was right around the time of that major age change. Amanda had one too, around the same time. Yep. And we were able to all do that on the same cruise with, you know, 60 people or whatever the number was. And everybody on the podcast was there. Old hosts were all there, Brian Williams and Scotty and all that. And just a lot of friends and listeners. And that was just a really, really an awesome experience to be able to do that with everyone. And there were no logistical hiccups for anybody. Like it went very, very smooth. That's a lot of people to try to orchestrate a cruise with, and it went without a hitch, which was
awesome. It was a lovely time. I'm excited for the prospect of doing it again, because I find that these cruises are not only just a great way to connect with listeners, but I like being in face to face with you people, and I like being face to face with Brian and with Scotty mm-hmm. and a few other people that are in the peripheries, and I can't wait to do that more often.
That's awesome. But we were talking about me. So the rest of my year.
My bad.
No.
I miss your guys' faces already. I do.
No, absolutely. I'm done. I remembered why I stay so far away now.
There was just a lot of other things. I took several other trips. There was another trip with a friend to celebrate his big birthday and did like a little cruise away. That was very cool. And went to spend a week in Canada with some friends, which was an amazing trip. Like, just did a lot of wonderful things. Went and saw the Shining Hotel with Amanda, actually, which was very cool, in Colorado. So mm-hmm. I've just been busy doing things and never forgetting that it's about experiences for me at this point in my life. I don't care about stuff anymore. I care about experiences. So trying to remind myself of that every day and every year. As I get older, that's the kind of stuff that I want to do. And I think this year specifically reminded me that is of the utmost importance. There you go. And John, I was just kidding. Thank you.
I already left. I'm sorry.
We're going to do another one.
New Mike Hootis.
What a dick. All right. I think that's it. Unless there's anything you want to say. So take your stab. John, say goodbye.
Get out.
All right, Troy.
Thanks all for listening, and have a happy holiday season.
That did not sound enthusiastic whatsoever.
Like, you did not give a
have
shit.
Have a great year.
I said like, thanks for listening.
Enjoy yourself.
I just want to end this as quickly as possible.
Listening is amazing to the podcast. The holiday season, I could give or take. That's it's not fair. My favorite holiday of the year. I like blowing stuff up and eating hot dogs. Murka.
I like warmth.
And warm, definitely warm.
Amanda,
hugs and love to everybody. I feel like this year everybody needs a little extra hug, so I'm sending you mine.
I'm not sending you my hug. You gotta pay extra for that.
But it's patreon.com/ the Hollywood Outsider.
Exactly. Well played John. Did you want to say something?
Ew.
For her hugs?
Do you want me to pick a lane? Because I don't really have one.
I don't understand. I feel like you're just on a hoverboard. I don't even know if you're on the road, but whatever.
I don't think so either.
This is it. We're done with the show for the rest of the year. We'll be back in early January. So stay subscribed, or subscribe if you're not already subscribed. Tell your friends about the Hollywood Outsider. That would be helpful. Catch up on the episodes you missed. There's a lot of cool stuff throughout the year that you probably didn't get to hear. And also patreon.com/ the Hollywood Outsider. There's a ton of bonus content there that you can hear. So everybody have a wonderful holiday season. We will see you back in January, early January. The date is to be announced. It's whenever the new episode comes out. That's how that works. But that's going to do it for us from the Hollywood Outsider. Thank you for listening. And remember, the next time you head to the theater or stream comfortably from your couch, there's a ton of content that you can do that with. And by the time you're listening to this, by the way, Reacher Season 2 is out, and it's a fantastic season. Go check it out. You can read my written review on the website, but go buy popcorn. There's my cheap plug for the show that I loved on the way out the door.
That was good.
Okay. Okay.
Hey, I finally started watching it. That was a good choice. Thank you for forcing
me
into doing it.
Finished season one yet?
What?
No, but
sake,
I'm getting
Amanda,
there.
For fuck's sake.
That's way better than Justified.
That's probably true.
What? I don't know if I'd go that far. You think it's better than Justified?
Well, to be fair, Reacher's had 8 episodes. Justified had, you know, like 100.
13.
No, there were
it,
6 seasons, jackass.
They didn't have 13 jackass. Total episodes. What
I was
the
just,
hell?
I was just comparing He's the, lied to I, us. I was just comparing the first season to the first season.
Mm-hmm.
Justified has one of the best endings of series television, though. So we got to see how Reacher ends to really fairly compare it. And I don't want that to happen for like 6 more years, at least.
Feels wild to me. That's all I know.
Okay. Fair enough. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Ta-ta.
You're waving?
Why are you waving?
Why are you waving when this is audio, for Christ's sake? What is happening?
You were waving?
He also said something,
though. I
said ta-ta. You can wave after
response.
You had waved for like 20 seconds. You were just standing there waving like Barney.
Now you're just coming at me. What's going on here?
This is why we had to end the show for the year. This is why. That's exactly why.
This is why I haven't been on. I'm just kidding.